Grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today comes from Ephesians chapter 3. Paul says that according to the riches of God's glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the text. There was an old Dutch couple from Holland. They were married for a lifetime, and from just observing this couple, you could see that they really loved one another. In fact, the husband so much loved his wife that one day he almost told her. Dear friends in Christ, you may be surprised, but I am a bit of a romantic. I try to use my words to make my wife Andrea feel loved. I send her a text every morning that I am at work saying, I love you with all my heart, or you are my heart and all my reasons, or I love you with all that I am. Nice words, but my love is far less than this. If you pressed Andrea and asked her, has Si's love always been patient and kind? Has his love never envied or boasted? Has Si ever been arrogant or rude? Has he ever insisted on his own way or been irritable or resentful? Has Si's love borne all things, believed all things, endured all things? Has it always given you hope? She would put the best construction on it and say, he tries. But so what? My love is less than my words. I promised to love and to cherish until death parts us, and I can tell you that I have not held up my end of the bargain. I love my parents. In fact, I tell them I love them now whenever I can, but it was not always the case. When I was young, I was selfish. I was disobedient. I pushed the rules. I did as little as possible to help. I lied and I lived as if I was the only one who mattered. And that is when my parents loved me the most, when I did not deserve it. They poured their love into me, and I took advantage of it at every turn, and all that came along with it. What can I possibly do to repay my parents' love? Telling them I love them now hardly cuts it. I love my kids. I have always told them so. But have I always been a fair father? Have I always been kind or patient or generous? No, much to my chagrin and shame, my words and my actions do not add up. They don't match up. Like every sinner, I talk a good game when it comes to using the word love. And then I dilute it by saying things like this. Not only do I love my wife, but I also love a good salty ham. I love grilled cheese sandwiches. I love vacations in Mexico. We bandy around this word love in the English language, but as sinners, what we truly love most is not our spouses or friends or family or God. It is ourselves. The command, the first command to love God is the first of my failings to love, and the second is like it, that I fail to love my neighbor as myself. I would like to say that there's something redeemable about my love, the way that I love, but there is not. Oh, in our sin, we would like to think so. We may even say so. But Jesus says what comes out of the hearts of a man is not love. But out of the heart of a man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they are what defile a person. Saying I love my wife, my parents, my kid, my congregation, my God with all my heart is impossible because my heart is so corrupted by sin. To speak of my love for anything is a very dangerous thing. It is why Paul in the letter to the Ephesians speaks of the love of God for the church in Ephesus and for us as well. Paul says, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power by the Spirit in your inner being. God dwells in you by the power of his Spirit, the Spirit given you in the waters of your baptism. You live in God's grace because God lives in you. It is not just a moment in time when God comes to you in baptism, hangs a shingle and draws the curtains, but a constant indwelling that you might cling to Christ, who is the object of your faith. He was the one who was perfect, the perfect man for our sake and in our place. He is the one who takes out of us hearts of stone and puts into us hearts of flesh, a heart that Christ moves so that we might trust in the promises of God. Paul says this, "The Spirit strengthens your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." That sinful, evil heart that we have is changed from the seat of evil to the throne of God. God dwells in you that you may be rooted and grounded in love. It is not your love for God that grounds you. It is God's love for you that does so. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. God roots you in love, his love for you, a love that is unfailing. Paul in the epistle lesson then says this strange thing. He said, God grounds you in the love of his Son so that you may comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ that surpasses comprehension. Here is the mystery. Why does God love us? Why would he love a world that only loves itself? A world that ignores God's gracious invitation to forgiveness and love in his Son. How can an immeasurable God take up residence in the flesh of a man? How can God use just words to convict the world of sin and then relieve it of its sin with words? How can God keep his promises to Israel and open the doors of God's kingdom to all people at the same time? And most important, how could God die on a cross? Can any words adequately describe this mystery? The master for his servants, the creator for his creation, the righteous for the unrighteous, the one who is eternal died for those who were dead in their sins, the unblemished, sinless Son of God for the sinful sons of men. Why would God do all of that? Well, I have it in a word, love. God loves you. He came in the flesh to die for all of your sins, all of them. He died for our failure to love as we should. But more than that, he died for our sins of meanness and cruelty and unkindness. His love surpasses all comprehension, all knowledge, because we cannot love like that. Only God can and did and died to show us his love in the form of a cross. The following is a moment, a story recorded by a surgical oncologist. He says, I stand by the bed where a young woman lies. Her face is post-operative. Her mouth is twisted in palsy, clownish. A tiny twig of the facial nerve, the one to the muscles of her mouth, has been severed. She will be thus from now on. I followed with religious fervor the curve of her flesh. I promise you that. Nevertheless, to remove the tumor in her cheek, I had to cut the little nerve. A young man is in the room with her. He stands on the opposite side of the bed, and together they seem to dwell in the evening lamplight, isolated from me, private. Who are they? I ask myself. He and this wry mouth that I have made, who gaze at each other and touch each other so tenderly. The young woman speaks. Will my mouth always be like this? She asks. Yes, I say, it will. It is because the nerve was cut. She nods and is silent, and the young man smiles. I like it, he says. It's kind of cute. And all at once, I know who he is. He is her husband. I understand. I lower my gaze to not encroach on this intimacy. Unmindful, he bends to kiss her crooked mouth, and I am so close that I can see him twist his own lips to accommodate hers, to show that their kiss, their love, still works. Dear friends in Christ, the love of God, we do not understand. We do not understand that Christ did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but took on the form of a servant and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The love of God is cruciform. It is twisted into the shape of a cross for our sake. We can see it by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can see with eyes of faith the love of God in the shape of His Son's broken body on the cross, broken for you, so that we might be severed from sin to inherit life everlasting. God is the one who can truly say and does say, I love you with all that I am. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now let us pray. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in and through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, Pastor Cy here. I hope this message was encouraging for you. At Riverbend Lutheran Church, our goal is to support Christians in their daily walk with God and in proclaiming the love of Christ to a lost and broken world. We're a small and inviting congregation welcoming any and all who are sinful, hurting, seeking, or simply broken. Whether you're already a Christian and are looking for a church home, or you're undecided about your faith and looking for answers, you are welcome here. We have a number of programs for all ages and walks of life. Sunday mornings we have worship followed by educational programs for all ages. Please join us. For more information, you can visit us online at www.riverbendlutheran.com, call us at 780-430-7382, or email me at pastor@riverbendlutheran.com. Better yet, stop in for a visit. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with His favor and grant you His peace.